Backseat Producers, episode number 278, Upstream Color.
I was half paying attention to it. It was okay.
It was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and it was on. And I like to work in front of the TV with something on, so I can take short breaks that end up being like 95% of the time I'm working. So I can like churn out something and then be like, ah, oh, I did this while I was watching the movie. God damn, she is hot in that movie. And it may just be because I'm getting older, and like my taste in women is changing, which I think is for the worse, but she has like that mid-40s housewife thing going on.
The whole MILF action thing, huh?
Yeah. I don't know the MILF part, but a nice mid-40s woman who's taking care of herself. That's the new thing, which I'm out for that. I don't know what's happening.
What? Why are you out for that? If you're
in
for
see,
that.
You know what I mean? This is why getting old is weird. I don't like it. There's this chick who's in our complex who's like 15... And this is a dangerous situation, all right? So this chick dresses very provocatively, and she has the body to do it well.
Mm-hmm.
I have to avoid this situation at all costs. Like, there's some family problems that she's got going on. Like, her mom is either an alcoholic or abusing drugs or something. Oh. Like, and there's no other kids in the complex, so she has no one to hang out with. So she's like, just walking up and down the street, hanging out, chasing the local wildlife. And I'm like, Melina, I have to stay as far away from the situation as humanly goddamn possible. She's like, why? And I'm like, here's the thing. I'm not a pedophile. But this is a bad situation. I don't want to know her name. I don't want to get friendly with her. Like, this is just a bad scene. Like, something's going to go wrong here. And you know the best way to protect myself? Be nowhere near the situation.
You don't want to do that.
I don't want to be
surrogate father
near
figure.
Yeah, I don't want her to, like, Melina's gone and then she drops by. I don't want people seeing her hanging around
hey,
the house.
Do you have any sugar?
Yeah, I don't want any of that. Like, I don't want
into World of Warcraft.
There's no oh, and I made a mistake the other day, Tony. I made a mistake the other day. Oh, this was and I agonized over this decision. So we have this cat that comes around that like comes out to our porch and then it like drives my cat wild. And she makes, like, this sound, and it's, like, this heart-wrenching, depressed, concerned sound, like, when this cat comes around, like, ooh, ooh, like, she is worried that something is...
Your cat's making this sound?
Yeah, my cat makes the sound when this cat comes around, right? So, like, it was fat, and then got real thin, and then, like, the fur's getting kind of patchy, and I was like, I got bad news, Coochie Mon. Your boyfriend might not make it. So...
He might have the HIV. You might want to avoid that shit.
Yeah, so I hadn't seen the cat in a long time, and so I started to suspect. I'm like, oh, like clearly my cat has a relationship with this animal. So I'm starting. So the other, like maybe 2-3 weeks ago, I was driving around looking for it, see if I could find it. I couldn't find it. So the other day, I left to go like to the store or something. I was driving up. I see this girl walking up the street, and she's holding her dog. All right, whatever. So I pass it, and then I'm at the... Like, as soon as I pass her, I can see her in the rearview mirror, and there's something weird about the dog. And so, like, I'm staring at her in this mirror, and she sees me staring at her in the mirror, and I'm like, ah, great. This can't go anywhere good. And so, like, I'm at the stop sign to get out of my complex, and I'm just staring at her, and she's not holding the dog, she's holding the cat I've been trying to find. So, like, I turn onto the street to get out of there, and there's 2 streets past, and I get there, and I'm like, ah, God, I can't not go back. So I turn around, and I go back to the complex, and I'm, like, agonizing over this decision because I know this is going to come back to bite me in the ass. I know my felinthropy here is going to bite me in the ass. So I see her, and she's, like, at somebody else's door. And, like, she's just knocked, so I park, and I get out. And this woman opens the door, and I start talking, and walk up the steps, and this woman's giving me the death eye, because, I mean, this is like a 60-year-old woman. She's like, oh, what are you doing here? And I'm like, ah, I just want to, is this your cat? Like, do you own this cat? Is she bringing back the cat? Like, really just interested in this cat. Like, no other reason am I up here. There's pussy I'm interested in up here, but it's this cat. And then the cat scampers off, and she's like, do you live here? I'm like, yeah, I live right down. I was on the board. I was like, oh, God. So now the cat's gone. I have no other interest in this conversation other to convince this woman that I'm not a pedophile. So then I have to tell her stories about my cat, and I have to explain the whole goddamn thing. And then this chick starts talking to me, and I'm like, no, now she knows my name and where I live. And I'm like, this is going to come back. Somehow. Something bad is going
to
happen.
When something happens to her, the police are going to investigate you.
I know. And this is like a confessional right here. She's going to get chopped up. And like earlier when I said I wasn't a pedophile, she's going to take out the knot. And I'm a pedophile.
When Eric brings the van to game night.
Yeah.
This has been another exciting episode of Adam's First World Problems.
Yeah. It's awful. My first world problem is I do not want to help this chick who obviously needs help. That's the first world problem.
So,
it's kind of like Winter's Bone.
Yeah. Yeah. Less drugs.
Less drugs. More cats.
More cats. We're both the cats replaced the drugs. Literally. It's just a one point. Hey, you need this cat.
Yeah. You want a cat?
I got five cats.
You got a taste for cats yet? Yeah.
Haven't quite developed it sounds, yet.
You developed a taste for pussy. We should be right.
I know what's going on.
I think we need to write this down and contact Shane here, because this could be his third movie.
Oh.
It all started with a cat.
Yeah, I got an email three weeks ago. That, hey, your hosting account is about to expire. Because I paid for 3 years in advance. Got a really,
whoa, really?
Got a really good deal.
I don't know anybody who's
been 3 years.
Well, now I do. When you can pay $180, get an unlimited hosting account for 3 years.
Jump on that.
Yeah, you do that. And that's what I did 3 years ago. It expires in less than 2 weeks.
I think I pay that a year.
You do. Because 2.5 weeks ago, I got an email that says, hey, your hosting account's about to expire. Your term is 3 years. The amount is $180. Well, that's interesting. That's cheap. And there's a coupon code here that I could apply. I should do that. So I just kind of pushed it aside.
Sure, yeah. I got like four of those emails sitting in my inbox.
Yeah, exactly. You get them, and it's from GoDaddy.
Especially if you've got multiple domains that you didn't get at the same time. So like, I got two domains that expire. Every month I get two of these emails.
So I got another email just like 2 days ago, and I didn't look at it until today. Let's clear out my inboxes. 3 years, $540.
Mm-hmm.
It's set to auto-renew.
Whoa. Ouch.
Wait a minute. This is not good.
All right, let's pull it back.
So
let's go down to 1 year again.
I sign on to GoDaddy and start poking around, start looking for coupon codes to see if I can find this elusive coupon code that I had 3 years ago. So I can't find it. And so then I clear my cache and everything, come out, go back to that first email and click the link from there, figuring maybe there's some kind of hidden thing in there. Come back. No, still $540. Well, fuck.
Son of a bitch. Procrastination again ruins it.
So, and so I'm looking at the email just to be sure that there's not some wording thing in there that, like,
yeah, if you registered a Tuesday.
Well, it says 3 years is the term, and it says this, and there's a little
asterisk.
Fuck. So I look at that, and it says, whatever term is listed is the term for that dollar amount. So, okay.
That's weird.
That's what I was hoping for. So I call GoDaddy. They're like, get the guy on the phone, and he's... I explained to him my problem.
Oh, I know why they have that asterisk there. So you can't say, like a 3 year, so 36 months at 180. Well, I don't want to do that. I want to do month to month, whatever that comes
split
out to.
Split that out, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Otherwise, it'd be $5 a month
yeah.
at that. But so I talked to the guy, and he's like, can you send me that email? So I forward him the email, and he's like, well, let me go talk to my boss. 10 minutes later, he comes back. He's, this would be a considerable change in the amount.
Correct.
We're still looking into this. One third
of the amount.
So he leaves again, comes back about 10 minutes later. He says, we're working on it because it is such a substantial difference. And then there's like silence for like 2 minutes. He's like, so just bear with us. And then there's like silence sure. for like 2 or 3 minutes. And then he says, well, I guess since I got you on the phone, I can tell you the marketing guys screwed up. That was not supposed to be for 3 years. Apparently, since you bought it for 3 years, they just kind of auto-populated 3 years. Yeah. And that's the per year price that you are actually seeing. But we're going to honor it.
Yeah!
Dude! So, hosting is in effect until BSP hits 10 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got the hosting account out of 2016.
Great. Jeez. Well, it's a shame they're going to stop making movies next year.
Nah. Yeah, it's going to suck. We're going to have to figure out
something else. I'm not even going to finish the new Lord of the Rings stuff. More cat stories. The Hobbit, yeah.
More cat stories.
Just decided to close down the whole
industry. Tell us from the condos.
I just think, by the time the hosting account runs out, that chick will be legal.
I don't actually know how old she is. I'm just guessing. She looks like she'll be driving soon. I don't know. It's hard to tell.
You start getting far enough away from that age, you're like, you could be 12 or 19. Yeah, I really can't tell.
I don't know. I know she can't drive, so I assume she's just not 16. But she could be 18 and her parents just hate her. I don't know.
Oh, that's true.
I don't know.
Mom could have drank or snorted her car.
It's true.
She never got down to the DMV to get a license.
No, that's West County. No, we all make it out there pretty quick. I was actually pissed when I turned 16. I had to wait because it was on a Sunday. I gotta wait till tomorrow. I want to drive around and be irresponsible today.
Are we ready to rock this out?
We are.
We don't have a movie next week, do we?
No, we were going to talk about...
Was it Perks of Being a Wallflower?
Oh, I hope so. I've been looking for an excuse to rent that.
Let me see it.
Well, we also got Pacific Rim coming up, too. It releases next week also, so...
I thought it released on Friday.
It releases on Friday.
Okay, releases Friday. Great.
I follow Idris Elba.
Well, today's the 10th if it releases on the 12th. Okay.
That's right. I'm thinking ahead here.
I follow Idris Elba because I'm sexually attracted to him. Mm. They're also coming out with new episodes of Luther. What? That show's so good.
Perks of Being a Wallflower is on... Netflix.
Oh, Hulu, yeah. Crackle. God, I have to pay for it. Yes.
So, yeah, we can do that.
Perks of Being a Wallflower. Okay.
Oh, yeah. The Hermione action? Yeah. She's legal. I know that for a fact.
Hermione stole all our shit.
Hermione stole all our shit? Danny McBride's washed his feet with a bottle of water. That was so funny.
Oh. All right. Hey, this is Tony.
This is Daryl.
This is David.
We are the Backseat Producers.
What?
What's up?
I remember my guitar this week, Tony.
Cats and hosting and whatnot.
Oh, yeah. It was pretty wild. A few minutes.
Slapping a fat man.
Slapping a fat man.
That was sick.
Tony.
Gay podcasters.
I had this sick beard that I had to shave for a meeting today.
I remember the beard. I saw it on Sunday.
It didn't change much from then. That one, I didn't have to go to. And two, I didn't want to go to. But I had to go because my boss told me I had to go so he could prove a point to me about another guy we work with. I don't know. This whole complicated thing.
That does sound a little complicated.
I'm like, you tell me something different than what I believe, I'll take your word for it. You don't need to demonstrate it and cost me a beard. I can't grow beards. It's an achievement when I do. Anyways, I don't know. It's just a whole...
You just wanted, just wanted to see if he'd be his bitch.
He's not usually like that. Usually, when he says something I disagree with, he just waits around until he's right, and it's usually pretty quick.
Pretty quick.
So, Daryl, did you have a chance to listen to the guitar cast?
No, I did not. I have to pull it down here. I got to fire up iTunes and resync it again.
You got to get some Zitar action going.
Zitar.
Read a Zitarist.
Or we need a fat man slapper.
We need a fat man slapper.
Well, tell you what, at Maker Faire last week, I saw a very interesting musical instrument. I wouldn't say it's a broomstick with a metal band, but it's a modification of a one string electric guitar. It can produce all sorts of interesting sound effects. So some other things too that was kind of musically related, but I also saw a lot of robots, 3D printers, electric cars, even got to ride around in one. And I saw even spotted an elusive Tesla Model S, which somebody had brought and plugged into the charging station down there.
Cool.
Got to talk to him about that a little bit.
Very cool. About how they just won't sell you one?
See, now Now all I'm thinking about is your one string guitar. Now I'm thinking about is this one string guitar made out of a fleshlight.
Whoa.
The euphemisms.
The depth and the suction.
Like a bass.
Yeah, it could produce different
pitches.
The hip
action controls the pitch, yes.
Oh. Man.
You could wire it up with some accelerometers to get that hand twist action.
I gotta go.
Wawa pedal. Wawa.
I gotta go.
A new website, new project website.
My brain flesh is exploding. My brain is exploding.
Call it the rod.
Tony, what are we talking about next week?
Next week, perks of being a wallflower. We talked about Hermione last week. We're going to talk about her again next week.
Hermione is the perk.
That's fair.
Of the Harry Potter crew, she's the only one that I want to hang out with, sexually and non-sexually.
I would want to hang out with Neville.
Nope. Of the three.
Of the three.
The other two are just not interesting.
I'm cool with that.
But if the standard cast, it's either going to be Neville, because you know you're just going to go cruising for chicks, or the Weasley twins.
Oh, yeah.
Pre-book seven.
Yeah. Or Jenny post-book seven. Jenny.
No, she's attached by then.
To screwed up kid with lightning forehead. That dude's broken. Look at him.
Yeah, no, he is broken. Chicks
like broken people.
But here's the thing, though. I think kind of at the point when she goes with him to the Ministry of Mysteries. What the hell is that? Book
Mystery
5?
Of Magic.
Yeah.
Like, at that point, they're kind of hooked up because they've been through enough together that's going to be inseparable.
Yeah. All right. Let's dive into this.
All right, Harry Potter 7, Part 1. Let's dive back into this.
Upstream Color.
Tony, come on.
What did you think?
I liked it. Tony, I give high-level reviews when we go to the high-level review.
Daryl, what did you think?
I don't know what to make of this damn movie.
But did you like it or not?
I sort of enjoyed it.
Yeah, okay. I've watched this movie twice. I know some of what happens in it, and I liked it. And I want to watch it again.
I don't want to watch it again. I don't feel like I'm going to get anything out of it the second time.
I got more out of it the second time, especially watching the first 10 minutes of it again. Because the first 10 minutes, there's a lot of weird shit happening.
Yeah.
Like, I would approve of watching the whole movie and then rewatching the first 10 minutes again, like immediately after you're done with it. Because there's some stuff that happens. Because when I did my second watching of it,
I think this is going to be the difference between you and I.
That first 10 minutes, there was a lot more that I understood more of what was going on in that first 10 minutes. And it wasn't me just being confused and trying to figure out what's going on. It's like, okay, I can see pieces being put together here for later.
You told me this movie was super complicated, so I paid extra attention.
Yep.
So I think we went into it with different...
Probably. I expected it to be super complicated because of some of the reviews and because of Primer. This movie...
Also excellent.
Yes.
Primer's intense. It's that good intense. Like, there's like no action, but it's intense.
And one thing I've told people before, kind of pointing them to this movie, is there is zero exposition. Like... No,
which I approve of. You've got
to pay attention very closely to what's going on.
Yeah.
I approve of, because to me, a movie that has a complex plot with zero exposition has to fall back on good acting, solid story, so it doesn't fall apart, and excellent cinematography, of which this movie has all three.
It also has fantastic sound.
Oh, yes. The soundtrack alone is worth the price of admission.
I love the sound, but here's the deal. Level out your fucking movies. Seriously. Like, I should not have to adjust the volume of my movie because, one, your scenes are too loud, And then in the next scene, I can't hear what the people are saying. Please just level 8 your movies. I'm not the audiophile that needs the sounds to be different pitches or whatever. Just level 8 goddamn movie. That was my complaint with the sound. But otherwise, it was fantastic.
I think that was on purpose.
It won awards. It won awards for its sound. So that was on purpose.
Yeah. I'm sure it was.
It's the whole movie to sit there and disorientate you more.
Yeah, the whole movie is to disorient you.
Yes.
In a lot of ways, which I approve of. I approve of making me ill.
I'm going to add one thing to your list of things that a good complex movie has to have, especially without exposition, a trust in its audience. And this trusts you to follow it.
Yep.
Because there's a lot going on, and there's some disturbing images, like, that certain people who are a little more sensitive, like with the pigs.
The pigs had me. I was like, I am more invested in these goddamn pigs than I have been in the last 6 movies we've reviewed.
But it makes you do that. It makes you become invested in the pigs, and the pigs are very important.
The pigs are extremely important. Not only that, but goddamn, the story was good.
Yeah.
The story was clever, and like, shortly after, I was like, I wonder if they're doing this. Oh, yep, that's what they're doing. That's new and different. I approve.
Yeah.
I approve of it being new and different, which is unique.
This is one of the most unique stories and presentations of that story that I've seen.
Melina came in like 3/4 of the way through, and she's like, what is happening? And I'm like, I'd explain it to you, but it's going to sound stupid, but it's not.
Yeah.
She's like, it sounds really pretentious. And I'm like, I don't know. It's not presented pretentiously.
It toes the line of pretension. It does. This is a movie that I can see, like, a hipster crowd just, like, fawning over.
Like my blood pressure. Towing the line of pretension. Actually, I have incredibly low blood
pressure. The only other movie I thought that came close to this is 2001.
Yeah.
Because there's no explanation in it either. You have to sit there and watch it all the way through and figure out what's going on.
Yeah. 2001, Primer, this. There are not many movies
that really place all the burden on the audience to interpret what's going
on.
And
not many sci-fi movies.
Well, you know something? I have a problem with this movie called sci-fi. This is more like a psychological thriller. I don't see where the sci-fi is in it. It's so thin. I disagree with the term as a sci-fi movie.
Although I hate this discussion, I also agree with that. I don't think it's sci-fi. This is a sci-fi as Source Code, which was a fantasy.
Source Code was a fantasy.
This was also a fantasy.
No,
call it fantasy.
What?
No, I would not put it in the fantasy category.
It's non-fiction, or it's non... It's fiction.
It's fiction.
Based on something that's magic.
No. This is a lot of mind-fucking going on all over the place.
But...
It is...
Magical...
It's also two people trying to put their lives back together from being kind of shattered.
So? That
they're trying to recover these memories. See, that doesn't
fly to me. That's just well-written drama.
Right.
I mean, Battlestar Galactica was well-written drama.
I also disagree with that statement just in general. I don't think they were trying to put their lives back together.
Well, they're trying to figure out what happened to them.
I don't think they were doing that either.
They were. I mean,
no.
Why...
No, they were not.
Because they don't think anything happened to him.
No, because, well, the guy, Shane Carruth's character, mm-hmm. I don't remember his name.
Jeff.
Is it Jeff?
Mm-hmm.
Jazzy Jeff.
His character created this whole fiction and is lying. And she even calls him on it at one point.
Hey, but, that's my childhood. Right. No, that's mine. Wait, what?
He's created this fiction around what happened to him that he's like, oh, I was on drugs. And that's why my wife left me, and that's why I gambled all that money, and that's why I stole from my company. It was drugs that did it.
Yeah, and
he created this fiction because, realistically, he didn't have there was no explanation. Just like she didn't have an explanation, she woke up on her kitchen floor, covered in food and wounds. And it was like, well, now what? And she didn't ever appear to make any explanation for what happened. She just tried to
pick up
continue living.
Yeah.
Yeah, at one point, the piglets is really what set her off. Because then after that, she became obsessed with something. And the best part about that was she did not know what she was obsessed with.
Yeah.
But she was obsessed with something. That was great.
Right.
And what
I got... couldn't scratch.
Well, and what I got out of it was that when the pig died, that kind of broke the link. Because...
What pig died?
The pig that was in the water?
Those are the piglets.
Those were the piglets.
He took the offspring of the pig.
Right.
The original pig was still
alive. Not her pig.
Not her pig.
Not her pig or his pig.
The piglets, when they died, that broke her bond.
Oh, no. I don't think that broke the bond with her pig. I think that...
You don't think so?
No, no. I think she had a bond also with the piglets because she was the mother. Because
she thought she was pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was awesome. That was fantastic. So I was explaining that to Melina, too, and I'm like, she's crazy because she feels like she has kids, but she doesn't have kids, and her kids are dead!
And she can't have kids.
And she can't have kids. So it was fantastic.
Because she's had surgery that she can't explain that she doesn't think she's ever had.
Right. What? What? Wouldn't? Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, whoa. But, so the piglets also have, like, the purple dye in them.
Yeah.
Right. So she feels the piglets, and then when the piglets are killed, then she goes crazy. Because she can feel that her kids are dead. So her piglet, that's when she snaps.
Her link with them broken. Yeah.
I don't know that it's broken necessarily, that she can feel that something
sense that they're no longer
something
there.
Is wrong. I mean, yeah. She still feels that something's missing.
And,
wrong, it,
and that's really when she gets drawn to going there.
Yeah, going and finding what the hell is
what's
happening.
Going on.
Yeah.
And it gets kind of like Close Encounters.
Yeah.
That weird obsession that she can't explain, but she just knows she has to do it.
Yeah.
That same kind of thing happens in Close Encounters.
And yeah, so this is what I really appreciate about the story. And when I say that the acting in a non-exposition story is critical, the obsession felt very organic. Like, it didn't... At no point... Like, they were fine not being obsessed, and then something happened. And usually, when they try and pull off the characters obsessed about something, they're really heavy-handed, and they kind of wink at the audience about it. But since she doesn't know what she's obsessed about, her confusion at her own obsession is well played by her. She's a great
actress. And I love how he didn't fight it. He's just like, you know what? There's something going on.
But he's experiencing the same feelings.
I don't think he's as drawn as she is. I think it has to do with the piglets.
Yeah, because the dye.
What happens?
Because he didn't pass on the dye. The dad pig didn't pass on the dye to the baby pigs. The mom pig did.
Right.
So he doesn't feel it as strongly as she does. Even though, I mean, he still feels something because they get separated. Goddamn, pigs were a great...
It was a great way to do it.
Yeah, it was a great way to do it. And the piglet at the end was fantastic.
Yeah.
That whole thing was great. Melina walked by and she's like, oh, I hope those piglets will be fine.
Keep walking.
Yeah. Don't watch this movie.
Yeah, I was really worried because I know you guys often watch the movies together. And it's like knowing what happened, I was like, I don't think Melina's going to like that.
No. No, she didn't. But then she liked that there were piglets at the end. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's the same piglets. They made it. I thought they were going to make it because, like, the sack goes under, then it comes back up, and I was like, oh, well, that's not long enough to drown them. And then, it, like, they show it in the creek, and I was like, oh, maybe they're going to make it.
No.
Obviously, decaying piglets. Like,
I thought it was cool that you saw it in the orchids and the trees, too.
Yeah,
it's
I like that.
It's still going.
Mm-hmm.
That was cool.
Well, the one thing I got at the end of the movie, when the botanists are looking at the plants, it seems like the plants had died.
I didn't think that they died. I thought it was just continuing.
No, I thought he was looking at them, and the plants were no longer blue anymore. They had died. And they're looking at them kind of distressed that, you know, they're not going to get any more of what they were getting out of them. And the worm was crawling away.
I thought that guy was just changing his mind about being an asshole.
Mm. Yeah, it's hard to say.
I know, yeah, that whole last 5 minutes is kind of really, really... kind of weird in that method. You kind of don't really know what you're looking
at. 95 minutes is kind of weird.
Well, I got the impression again that they had rescued their links with these animals, and that the trait or whatever organism, although it went through the orchids, into the worms, and into the plants. Well, it stays in the worms. The plants are just the intermediate host. But the worms had escaped from the plants, and the plants had died.
I would have liked 15 to 20 more seconds on that ending of maybe them setting up that there were more pigs in there than there were survivors, and then the last pig be that guy, and then all of the people who had been whatever show up behind that guy like the other dude had been the entire thing. I could have done 20 seconds of that at the end of the movie.
I do one like thing I did not plot. Get at the first part of the movie is the kids. Now, they were processing the worms to produce a liquor that they would drink, and it would give them the link together.
Yeah, they were just goofing around. That's all I got out of it. So the sequence of events, as I interpreted it, because I think there's a lot left for interpretation in this movie. A lot. So
no, none.
Because one of the kids said, "says I have to use so many. Just you see how hard it is to just get one good one."
All right. So they have a plant that is
got the blue rust on it. Yeah.
Is a host for this blue stuff, which I just took to refer, just mentally referring to it as the blue, just because it makes there's no it's blue magic.
And I don't think it's the plant. It's the bugs.
The plants.
Or an intermediate host.
Are an intermediate host, and the bugs get it from the roots of the plant.
Sure.
Okay, so then the bugs have it.
Sure.
And the bugs, interestingly, some of the bugs can be carriers, and some of them cannot. Some of them just die.
Right. That's why he was sitting there separating them
right.
in so, there.
So then he takes one of the bugs, and he has apparently done this numerous times, where he finds someone
and infects them with it
and uses it strictly to steal money from them. He's not doing it for that one guy we see is doing it just to steal money from them. Then there is this other guy,
the sampler,
who I'm not really sure what his deal is.
I'm not really sure how he summons the people to him either.
Well, it's the sound.
He's I get the sounds, but
he programs them already with the environmental sounds, and they find it that way.
I know, but
he's using like sense memory from the worms, and he's okay.
Well, what part of this?
I thought about this for like 2 weeks.
What part of this is not fantasy to you guys?
No.
Sense memory from the worms.
Well, no, because they have a link together
telepathic link to the worms' sense memory. And we are still not convinced this is fantasy.
Just quit chewing on the goddamn mic.
God damn it. Shifting, but then I got locked into... All
right, so fantasy. That's fine. I called it blue magic.
All right, now next we're going to get to Star Wars.
All right. Star Wars is magic, too.
Yeah, it is.
There's no science fiction to it.
No, it's all fantasy. All
right. So he summons the people who are infected, who have a psychic link with the worms by using sounds in nature that are similar to worm sounds.
I was fine with that.
He calls the people to them while they're still, while the worms are basically inside them. Well, they're a parasitic bond.
Does he hit him with the worm dew line?
What?
Does he hit him with the worm dew line?
I think so.
Good.
I don't know what that means, but...
Supposed to say all right.
Then he extracts the worm and puts it into a pig
along the ground
host.
Like this.
He takes he gets the worms out of him. He puts it in the pig host, and then he puts the pig host in the pen.
How did
and
he get
lets
the
other people?
He does
go
get
back.
The worms out of him.
Yeah, he does.
He got the worm out of her.
Yeah,
that was very distinct because it was almost like a tapeworm, but it wasn't a tapeworm because he was getting it out of her vein. He pulled it out of her leg.
I thought she had multiple worms.
No. Yeah, well, it could have been all the same one.
Could have been multiple, but it was one big fucking long worm. Is what they showed.
The parasite.
What they showed us on screen was one big long worm.
Yeah.
He was using that crank to, like, pull it out of her, and it was, like, as it was coming out of her, it needed somewhere to go.
Yeah.
So he opened up the pig and kind of fed it into the pig. So it found
the pig. Yeah, no, I saw that part. I just didn't think he removed everything from her. Whatever. That's a minor point.
Yeah. He did or he didn't. Either way,
there is a
symbiotic relationship, a psychic relationship between the worm and her at this point that is then transferred into the pig.
Yes.
So
we're all agreed on the pig point.
Yeah. So now she's got this
psychic link to the pig.
It sounds so ridiculous.
It does sound completely ridiculous.
It sounds so ridiculous, but it's so not funny.
The thing is, the worm host just happened to be inside the pig.
No, I think it's with the pig. Because all those people are broken and are just kind of in their life. They're not.
Yeah, they're no better than animals.
They're just living in a pen.
Yep.
Eating when they want to, screwing when they want to, just being animals. They're just being animals.
Yep.
And they're living a least common denominator life. And it's when two of them find each other, and he just kind of has the gumption to say, hey, what's going on?
Hey, let's bang.
Yeah. I like you. There's something about you I like. And she realizes she's completely broken. He's gone through that realization process and come out the other side of, yeah, I'm broken, but I deserve something in my life. He's this little piggy who went home. So he's out there. Home. Yeah.
He took the piggy skin bus to Tuna Town.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. So they meet, they fall in love, or what approximates love? Is it this chemical bond that they have?
No. The
pigs fall in love.
All I could think when I was looking at those pigs is that Valentine that Chibi drew for Abby. They were both pigs. And I was like, oh my god, I'm watching Chibi's life.
So the pigs mate in the pen, so they find each other out in the world.
And I don't know which happens first.
I don't know.
I don't think it matters. But
I don't know that it matters, but those two things coincide.
Those two things happen.
And the pig gets pregnant.
Mm-hmm. That's when she gets it. Yeah, I think I'm
and
pregnant
she has
too.
She has the psychic bond with the pig that she thinks she's pregnant too. Her body's reacting in the same way that the pig's does, at least, you know, in feeling like she's pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not having a period, which is why she does the pee test, which shows up positive, but when they do the blood
more extensive
test, it's
tests.
Not, which is all reasonable. That part is science.
Yeah. Your psychic link to the pregnant pig made you feel like you were pregnant, but we did a more extensive testing. Turns out science says you're not pregnant.
You're not pregnant.
So this is completely scientific.
And at that point, I don't know. See, the way I put it together is that the link then went with the piglets. It didn't stay with the mama. And when the piglets died, that kind of
I kept that she had both.
And it just seemed like that event of birthing the piglets and them dying did something that kind of sent her off the rails. She was on the rail, and she was going to just live her life in La La Land.
Or whatever, right.
And as soon as the piglets were born and they died, some combination of those, she snaps.
Yeah. And
something breaks inside her, and now she's obsessed about something she doesn't understand.
Which, to me, all ended up being entirely reasonable. Whether or not you think it passed the piglets or was also with the piglets, it was just
because it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Because it was no different from her thinking that she had just had a baby and then that baby was killed. Like, not even in front of her, but like she could still feel the baby.
Yeah.
So, I mean, having her get sent off the deep end over that, all right, no explanation. I'm going on board. I get it.
Yeah, at that point, you don't have to explain. It never,
and it never does.
I never felt the need to have any of it explained. And I don't understand it all. But I never felt the need.
So the only thing that I thought was weird, the only thing that, other than her just showing up randomly at that dude in the forest, all right, fine, whatever. She finds it again later, so it's got to be something with the way that he conditions the worms or the grubs or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing, so they're like, oh, you had a cancerous endometriosis or whatever that you survived, and so you can't have kids. They're like, somebody was in there and removed it. Like, was that the doctor dude who did that in that dirty tent with the pig?
Yeah,
I don't think so, because that's major surgery. Like, that's not going to happen in a dirty tent with a pig that you're going to survive.
Or did it happen in her life before that she's
well,
just
I'm
locked
a,
it out?
I'm kind of guessing
or
that...
Or was it the worm? Was it some
I think
effect
it was,
of
the
worm?
The worm may have been the symbiotic host. It's defended its own host by destroying the cancer.
Hmm.
Maybe.
I can accept that.
You because that was the only that's thing. There's no real surgery there, but
that's what happened.
They said good call. They said we see the tumor pocket, but we don't see the tumor. You've had,
and they do show a lot of scenes of the worm like eating tissue and rolling around in veins or something. So, all right, I'm fine with that explanation.
It makes as much sense as anything.
That's good. I accept that.
Well, one thing
you can fix the story for me. Great.
One thing interesting is that the director, producer, writer, sound editor, film editor, and actor are all the same person here.
He also wrote all the music.
Yep. I mean, that's a lot of hats to wear for one movie.
Then again, Primer came out in 2004, and this is his second movie. So
he needs to learn to delegate. But
well, certain savings there for if you can do everything.
High quality movie every 9 years. I guess I'm okay with that cycle.
I would almost like to see what he can do. I don't want to see this guy fall in the same trap that like M. Night Shyamalan did, where it's like he's got to make movies that follow a certain pattern now because he
succeeded. That's his shit. Yeah.
He made one movie that was fucking fantastic. Then another movie that was pretty goddamn good. And then it's like, oh, we're expecting it, so now this is just
then
shit.
Then you had the one-arm guy.
Yeah.
Oh, damn it. I watched The Island from Michael Bay the other night. I'm like, God, this is a good movie. What happened? Why did they give you a budget? You know who that didn't happen with? Zack Snyder.
Yeah?
Melina didn't believe me that there was a sequel to 300 coming out. She saw the preview when she saw Man of Steel again. She's like, I thought you were joking. Nope. It's real, and it looks terrible.
It does look terrible.
It looks so bad. But I'll see it.
We've established that.
I'm going to see it.
For Zack Snyder.
He's not doing this one. No, I just want the sweaty, glistening men.
Hmm.
It reminds me of what I used to look like.
Your name should have been on that email.
Yeah, it should have been. Me and Idris Elba. It was so good.
Oh, yeah.
He's Heimdall, you know.
Hmm?
He's Heimdall, you know.
Heimdall?
And Thor.
Oh.
I told Linda the other day, she said something, I'm like, oh, so now Idris Elba watching the Bifrost isn't important to you.
The acting was all fantastic.
God, man, that last scene where he's sitting at the table, the dude who's watching him shows up, and then she comes in, and then they're just sitting at the table. Oh, all three of them are just sitting at the table.
She just looks up at him.
And she just looks at him, and then like he gets real uncomfortable. He's like, oh, this is weird. I'm out of here. And then she starts following him. I'm like, oh, here it comes.
And that's where I thought that like the link was broken after the piglets had died. At whatever point it happens, because like he controlled everything by being the master of the pigs, for lack of a better term. he could observe all these people and their pain and their.
Well, yeah, because I thought it was that he had the symbiotic relationship with the pig as well.
Maybe.
And that he used the pig as the proxy to spy on their lives.
It could be. Which does make sense because
I mean, that's what he does all movies, just sits there and
watches
the pigs.
People. Well, and he watches people too. Like,
yeah, no, yeah, he watches the pigs through the people. And then the people through the pigs.
Right. Like that one scene is still. There's one scene about halfway through the movie that you see from multiple angles, multiple times. Like, basically, it looks like it's replayed over and over and over again until they get it right. And it's the couple that are fighting, and he leaves, but he comes back to find her dead. That was weird and interesting because it had this Groundhog Day thing going on. And that guy's observing it the whole time.
I thought that was that guy making changes.
Yeah.
Like, it was either to... It had to have been to the guy's memory, like to see if he could push the guy into believing something that was different from what happened.
Which makes sense considering all the different stuff we saw. And the main guy, Shane Carruth's character, he lied, like, frequently. He lied to himself. He lied to her. He told her stories that she's like, no, that was me.
Right.
What are you doing?
Mm-hmm. So I don't know. So I think that guy was the experiments that guy was doing was whether or not he could change what they remember of things. And then what I think the ending was her doing the same thing to him, changing how he was looking at the situation. Like he thought he was looking at her in the room.
Which I guess that could also beg the question is, was that her memory? Was she when she was remembering that thing, when she said, no, that was my childhood. I did that. Do they all remember that? Is that a memory they all share?
Oh, that's a good point.
So is it, you know, that's another question that you could throw out about it.
This movie leaves a lot of interpretation on purpose.
It's so good.
And I thought that chick was going to get naked, too. I was really excited about that. She didn't. No. She had some piglets. And I was
she
like,
got close.
She's pretty close. There's a lot of upskirt butt action.
Yeah.
I got the ninja eye for this, don't worry. I'm like backseat producers, Mr. Skin.
Now, one thing I didn't get is why they were all beating Walden. Now, it was just that something that was to just focus them while they were mindlessly just emptying their bank accounts, or...
Was that the memories that he was feeding him? Was what he was remembering something from Walden? Because I've never read Walden, so I don't know.
No, that was the book that they transcribed. Mm-hmm. I think they had to make sure that the hypnosis or whatever took.
Okay.
So they had them stay up all night, like as a reinforcement, because they were... Because that water that they were drinking was laced with the purple goo, so maybe it was feeding the parasite, but they could only administer it, like they couldn't administer it all at once.
I didn't think it was. Was it?
The water from the pitcher?
Yeah.
Oh, they should have goo a lot. Oh,
okay.
But like they would ration it at a certain interval. So I think when they had the parasite in them, they were feeding the parasite the goo to make it big.
That makes sense.
And so what better way to administer a schedule than to have them do it to themselves?
And then they had the literal metaphor of building the chain.
Mm-hmm.
Making the chain longer and longer and longer and longer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I liked how he caught himself doing it afterwards. That was cool.
With the straws, yeah.
Yeah. With the straw wrappers. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Poopsicle.
This is a good movie.
This was a good movie. I was happy to watch this.
If you haven't seen it and you've and listened to it,
already spoiled the shit
so
out
much
of
out of it. But watch it. Because it's also a gorgeous movie.
It's gorgeous. It's really good looking.
It's very, very pretty.
The visuals are fantastic. If you don't watch the movie, just listen to the soundtrack.
The soundtrack's really good. The music's good. That when he's doing the Foley work, collecting sounds out in the wild, that's really cool. I like how she went and literally recreated him
doing those
capturing
things.
The sounds in the actual places where he did it.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, oh, she's got his number.
Yeah.
Dialing it in there.
Yeah. I don't have much else to talk about this.
No, I think
we've talked it out. Good movie. Good watch. If you listen to this and you've seen the movie and you have any other interpretations,
please send it in.
Yeah.
Be interested to see what you say. See if
I'm
you're on the same tune with us.
All right, so it's going to be Sam. And
Sam's not showing up for any conventions this year, so F that guy.
Between Tough Mudder and his new girlfriend, I think that's what
he's doing. Ooh, I want to have a life and a girlfriend. Yeah, well, you know what, Sam? The rest of us go to conventions.
We might get Aaron Head to come to Archon.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm still working on him.
Stingray's going to be coming in.
Oh, he's definitely
Tuesday before Gen Con.
Oh, really?
He's flying here first.
Well, fuck. Oh, you guys will be gone Wednesday, though, right?
We could just record on Tuesday.
True.
I don't know how the time is going to work out with that, but we'll make it work.
Make it work.
Well, I have to go to work tomorrow, the next day, so who cares?
I stay up late anyway, so.
Your kids are always happy to see me.
Guys, you guys need to stay up late and look at this guy's hands.
Oh, they're so big. Did you see him post about his cat? Like the vet?
Yes.
The vet has bigger hands than I do. I don't believe you. Don't lie to me.
Yeah, I saw Melina said something like, that's impossible.
Goddamn Stingray.
All right, anything else? All right, let's call this a night. See you guys next time.
Bye-bye.
Hear me next time.
I will see you guys next time.
Yeah,
they
we'll
will
see.
Hear us.
We'll see.
Those people will hear.
Wear a ski mask.
Maybe.
I'll wear a mask with my own face, but that face is going to have a beard.
Okay.
Wear a Bane mask.
Those are easy to make. Just go down there. I've been seeing some of that. Gizmondo's been posting some of the, IO9 has been posting some of the cosplay costumes from Comic-Con. There's some pretty kick-ass
stuff. Is that happening now?
Yes.
Is that now? I thought it was next week.
No.
It's now?
you know, has such a little impact in my life. Why don't I have another Captain America trailer?
Huh?
Why don't I just have teaser pictures?
Because it's not coming out for
a year.
It's not a year. It's like 10 months. 9 months. It's coming out in 9 months.
It's going to coincide with the next Avengers movie.
What's that?
It's supposed to coincide with the next Avengers movie, right? They kind of set up in a cycle so that they each have
Next year is going to be Captain America Winter Soldier, mm-hmm. and this year is Thor Dark World.
Oh, God, it looks so
next,
bad.
They roll around to another Avenger movie.
They're doing next year. They're doing Guardians of the Galaxy.
What is that?
It's a sci-fi space-based team of heroes.
Oh, Marvel! What are you
doing? That kind of plays out of
Marvel. What are you doing other than making money?
Well, printing gee, that's money. Printing and hey, that's what the name of the game is. There's no money in comic books anymore, so it's all big name action things.
The comics are just
fire support.
I know.
The comics support the and to the test market. No, they test market the stories.
Mm-hmm.
They're using comic books to test market stories for movies and cartoon series that they can sell on DVD.
Fie on DC for making good movies and less money. Fie on them.
DC is making more of their money in their animated studio with their DVD releases because they're pumping those out pretty regularly.
Really?
And most of them are pretty decent.
I don't have a problem with what DC's doing.
No.
I just think their movies are better.
They have
Dark Knight versus any of the Marvel movies.
I'm not arguing.
All right.
Green Lantern?
All right.
Versus any of the Marvel movies?
Green Lantern was better than Thor.
No.
Yeah, easy.
I can't agree with that.
Green Lantern
was
better than... Yeah, Green Lantern was better than Thor. That's the best I got.
What was
the worst of the... Nah, Thor was the worst of the Marvel movies.
Hulk.
No, Hulk was good. Hulk was good. The Ang Lee Hulk was bad.
That was bad. That was before they did the Marvel Cinematic Universe, though.
I don't know what that means.
What they started with.
Basically,
because now they have like the Marvel Universe, the Ultimate Universe, and the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Jesus.
And they treat them all as separate entities for continuity. And I'm great with that. I'm so glad that they've got separate stories and all that.
Yeah,
they need to do is they need to throw a bucket of money at Sony and get Spider-Man back. And they need to throw three buckets of money at Fox and get X-Men back and pull all that shit together.
They've got the money.
They've got the money. Sony has not given up the rights to it.
Yeah.
They've made huge offers to Sony.
Yeah, I bet.
But Sony
don't want to let go of a gold mine.
Sony may need to think about it seriously after the summer they're having.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of their movies are just tanking.
Well, the whole corporation's been tanking for a while. I mean, they need a major, major overhaul top to bottom. And that's been said for at least 10 years that their consumer electronics, their entertainment division, their game division, everything doesn't jive with each other. They're three separate companies that's sharing a name.
Yeah, they did really awesome through the 80s and in the 90s. Things started to...
Well, that's when they started diversifying their consumer electronics into the entertainment business, and then they started drifting at that point. Then they got into the computer business, and entertainment didn't talk with computers. Gaming didn't talk with entertainment. None of the corporation talks with any other portion of it.
No.
And none of their stuff is compatible with any other, which is kind of strange since they all had the same damn name.
They got better with that in the last 5 to 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But the company is still running in multiple directions with nobody in charge.
Yeah, exactly. The PS3 is the best console of that generation. Sorry, it is.
Mm-hmm.
But they have no support for it in games or any of the other infrastructure, so it sucks.
Yeah, it's kind of like the problem that Nook is going through right now. Nook had the best price.
Yep.
Nook had the best hardware. Nook had the best support.
Because it was accessible.
Nook had the least content.
Mm-hmm. Which is surprising for a damn bookstore.
And they didn't have the name Amazon behind it. Well, mm-hmm. Amazon just has so much money that they
could. I know they could sit out there and lose money year after year after year.
Yeah, that's how they operate for the first 5 years. Goddamn, Bezos has some big balls on that guy. That dude lost $1 billion before he ever turned a profit. That's some huge goddamn nuts.
Yeah, but look at look at how much profit he's made.
Yeah. Just by dominating. Yeah, by wiping an island.
He wants to go to space. Bezos is awesome. He's Hispanic. Lesson to you people.
Well, there you go.
Lesson to you white people. Anglos. We're coming.
You're like
the we're the billionaires.
Well, it's an interesting time, nevertheless. There will always be an Amazon. There will always be a Google. There will always be...
Yeah, you know what? There was always going to be an AOL, too.
Yeah, well, AOL's mistake was getting bought out by Time Warner.
AOL's mistake was catering to the least common denominator.
And being bought out by Time Warner.
Being bought out by Time Warner hurt them badly.
Yes.
I don't think catering to the lowest denominator... Lowest common denominator is a bad business.
If they had stayed a separate company, they'd probably be better off.
The problem was is they had people completely invested and bought into the idea that AOL was the internet,
mm-hmm.
and that was fine.
That wasn't a problem. That was their greatest strength.
And their biggest problem was is they had no plan for broadband.
Yeah.
When broadband hit, they had no clue how
they were still in the dial-up model.
Because in 2000, 99 or 2000, when Julie and I got married, one of the first things I did when Charter made it available to us when we were living in Edwardsville, I got broadband, and she's like, "This is why are we doing this? This is dumb. Why are we paying for all this?" It's like, we can get rid of our AOL accounts, both because we each had separate AOL accounts because you had to because they wouldn't let you merge them at the time. So to keep our email address, we had to keep our separate AOL accounts.
Got mail. Oh,
we were paying $40-some a month just for dial-up accounts. And
plus the online charges.
And it's like, well, now we can go and do this, and we don't have to pay for all this, you know, we don't have to pay for all this extra stuff. We just go get another email account. It was shortly after that I bought the Mastville domain. So, like, I had my own domain. So I had my own email that was mine. Nobody could do anything with it. It was mine. And it's like I've never looked back from that. When Gmail came out, I was even slow to adopt Gmail at first just because it's like, I don't want to give up.
I don't want to give up my Hotmail account. I had Hotmail. Then I was like, whoa, Gmail's so much better than this.
But I have Gmail accounts, but I still give out tony@tonymass.com as my email because, you know what?
It's easy to remember.
If you don't know my email address, tony@tonymass.com or any of the podcasts.
Any of the Tony at 70 just email
Tony Mass. It'll come up. It's preloaded.
Yeah, Google and I go way back.
Well, this was a depressing review of the internet.
Not really. Depressing the view of poor marketing decisions by big companies.
We used to use AOL free accounts to surf for porn in chat rooms. This was when I was like 14.
Mm.
So we'd go to my buddy Matt's house because his parents were divorced and didn't like him. So they would just leave him alone for long periods of time. And we'd get on there and we'd download porn. My buddy wanted to download Chinese actors. And I was like, you want to rephrase what you're looking for there. I think Chinese actors is exactly what you want to find. I love the Chinese actors. Again, we have gender-specific language.
We're doing dial-up?
Yeah, you get dial-up. The chat rooms.
You get in the chat rooms and you do sharing.
Yeah.
It'd
be changing.
There's 23 emails coming in. I'm downloading three at the same time. In the next 5 minutes, I'll have two pictures.
Yeah, it was the worst. It was the worst.
Then, having to save them up on floppy so you didn't save them on the hard drive just in case.
Then I got a computer in my room that had the modem, and it was all downhill from there. Like that was the beginning of my relationship with internet porn, like for serious. Like when it became a porn, like if you porn break utopia. Your life down into porn a pie utopia. Chart of what you're doing, like
pre-IP, post-IP.
Yeah, it became a significant portion of the pie chart, and you know what? It's gone down, but it's still not gone. Like there's a good chunk of my time that's in porn.
No,
it's never. You know what? And the thing is, it's weird because it's become like a habit, and now it's a hobby. Now it's a hobby. Like, there are sometimes I'm like, man, I got a lot of internet porn, and like there's just this sliver of pride. Like there should be no pride. Like man, this feels good. sometimes I categorize it. It's a whole nightmare.
So I do have a soft spot in my heart for AOL, though, because Julie and I met in an AOL chat room.
Oh, Tony! Did you hit her up with St. ASL?
Louis. No. This is St. Louis chat room.
Tony.
No. I said something about champagne, and she thought I spelled it wrong. I didn't spell it wrong.
Oh, yeah, the city.
Yeah, the city. So she's like, I went there. I know it. You spelled it wrong. I was like, no, I didn't. So we started chatting in an IM after that.
No,
like, first day we're chatting, I was like, oh, hey, you're in Edwardsville. That's cool. She's like, here's my phone number.
Uh-oh.
It's like, oh, wow, that's awesome.
The die is cast.
Like, that's weird. She, like, gave me her phone number, like, first time out.
She may murder you. So it was
a couple of days later.
She may murder you.
She might. So it was a couple days later, and I got back from the comic store. Logged into AOL. Hey, why haven't you called me? I guess I could call you now. Let me finish watching ER. This is a Thursday night, so I don't finish watching ER. So we'd, like, talked all night Friday. Saturday we met. Just less than 3 years later, we got married.
Wow.
Two years later, we were engaged. 3 years later, married.
She could still murder me.
She could. She's playing the long game.
She's from the internet. Once she gets everything she needs out of you, you're out.
Yeah. That's why I don't give her certain passwords. She doesn't have the GoDaddy password. So
she was holding out for Aaron. Now, once she gets a little older, like she'll Aaron will be fine with your death.
Yeah.
Your messy murder.
Once she doesn't have to, once Aaron probably is about 10, where she can...
Yeah, she can internalize
it. Get up, no, it's mostly get up, watch TV on her own, make her own sandwiches. That's when it's over.
They learn to entertain themselves. Yes, when she got her own pizzas online now.
Man, she is a planner.